Please take your Bibles and let's stand as we turn in the Gospel according to Matthew to chapter 6. We've come to chapter 6. We're beginning that chapter today. We're going to read the first four verses. Jesus is still speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says this: "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Amen. This is God's holy word. Please be seated. We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount from Jesus for a while now, and we saw in chapter 5 that the Lord Jesus Christ was in the process of correcting the false teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees and those who had passed on this false teaching down to Jesus' day. And what he's doing now in chapter 6 is he's moving from correcting the false teaching to correcting their false actions. He starts specifically dealing with the wrong things that they are doing. And he starts by talking to us and making a contrast here between the hypocritical type of lives led by the Pharisees and their followers and the type of life that Christ desires his followers to lead through faith in him. And so we look at a general thing here at the beginning of chapter 6. Do not do your good deeds before men, is what he says. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. Righteousness. Some of the Bible translations translate this as deeds of charity or alms. The word itself can mean either one. As a matter of fact, one of the definitions that's given has righteous or religious observances as one way to translate this, and acts of charity or mercy as another way of translating this word. And so it depends on how you look at it. The righteousness that he's talking about, though, is righteousness that issues in doing deeds that are in keeping with that righteousness. And so he's talking specifically about giving to the needy, giving to the poor, acts of charity, that type of thing. But is Jesus contradicting what he just said back in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16? Because he just said there, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And here he says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. No, he's not contradicting himself. Look at it this way. Jesus, in the last chapter, chapter 5, was speaking of doing good works for the glory of God in the presence of men. But here, he is talking about the hypocritical attitude of doing good works or charitable works in order to attract man's attention. And that's what he's criticizing. In other words, he's talking about doing these things in order just to be seen. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. That's what he says, in order to be seen. So the point has to do with motivation as well as the actions. True good deeds are done by the motivation to bring glory to Almighty God. In other words, if you're going to do a good deed, it must be done to the glory of God. A false good deed is done with the motivation of attracting man's attention at the time so that others might look at you and say to themselves, my, how devout he is. What a pious person this man happens to be. And so it's showiness that brings attention to yourself. That's what Jesus is criticizing. Showiness. Exalting yourself, making others look at you. And what he says, he goes on and says, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Now the point is, you will have already received all the reward that you're ever going to get. You have received the accolades, the praises of men before whom you did these righteous or charitable deeds. You have your reward, and you have your reward in full, and that reward comes from men only who will regard you with honor for the deeds that you have done, but because you have never intended to please God with this, you've never intended to honor God with this, He will not reward you. That's true, because these religious exercises that he's talking about are fraudulent. They're false. You're using them to cover up your real motive, which is you're putting on an act before men because you want their praise. You want to be exalted among them. And so the sin here is the sin of, under the guise of giving glory to God, you are in reality seeking your own glory. That's what he's criticizing. As if in some way you could deceive the one who is omniscient, who knows you better than you know yourself. Even our best good deeds, as Isaiah reminds us, are like filthy rags. And yet we somehow think, well, we can fool God, when in reality, more often than not, we just fool ourselves. God knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And so when Jesus speaks about this, in verse 1 and verse 2, and then later on in verse 5 and verse 16, what he's getting at is this one reward that you receive from men, their praise, cancels out the other reward that you could have received from God alone. You either get one or the other, but you don't get both in this way. When you do it hypocritically, if you do it for the praise of men, that's all you will ever get. Now, what he's talking about specifically here is giving to the poor and needy. And we know from Scripture that this is something that's commanded. The Old Testament, for example, back in Exodus, in Moses' day, it says in chapter 23, for 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its yield, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow. Now, it's the Sabbath principle for the land, but listen to what God says about it. That the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. You shall do likewise with your vineyard and with your olive orchard. In other words, the Sabbath principle is extremely important to the Lord, but one of the side benefits of this is that the poor get to eat from that field that you don't harvest. Leviticus 19 says, you shall not strip your vineyard bare. This is in the other years when you're doing this. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. And then in Deuteronomy 15, he says, if among you one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. Take care lest there be an unworthy thought in your heart and you say, the seventh year, the year of release, is near, and your eye look grudgingly on your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry to the Lord against you, and you be guilty of sin. You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him, because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. For there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy and to the poor in your land. So God over and over again commands this very thing, that you give to the poor and needy. And in Amos' day, this criticism is leveled against Israel. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they sell the righteous for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. And those who trample the head of the poor into the dust of the earth and turn aside the way of the afflicted. Think about that for just a minute. That hadn't disappeared, has it? People are mugged and sometimes killed for their tennis shoes. They sell the poor for a pair of sandals. In the New Testament, Jesus is going to tell us in the Sermon on the Mount, what he says, for example, in Luke chapter 6, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. Bear one another's burdens, Paul says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so Scripture is full of exhortations to meet the needs of the needy, of the poor. But there's a wrong way to do it and a right way to do it, and Jesus addresses the wrong way. Don't do it like the hypocrites do. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Sounding the trumpets in the synagogues when you give. Now, that can mean one of a couple of things. It could mean Jesus is using simply an illustration of a rich man walking along with somebody to announce, walking in front of him, my master is giving bunches of money to God. What a great master he is. Da-da-da-da. Maybe a real trumpet. Alfred Edersheim lived from 1825 to 1889. He was born in Vienna, Austria. He was a Jew who was converted to Christianity. And he wrote a book that is associated with his name, The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. He also wrote another book, The Temple, Its Ministry and Services as They Were at the Time of Christ. Man did a great deal of study. And what he discovered was that in the court of the women, remember there are courtyards around the outside of the temple in Jesus' day. There's the courtyard of the men, and then outside that there's the courtyard of the women. And in the courtyard of the women, where anyone could come except a Gentile, there were 13 trumpet-shaped chests, boxes for money. They were shaped with the wide part at the bottom, and it flared up until there was a narrow opening at the top. It looked like a big trumpet. And each one of these was marked as to where the money went that you put into those trumpet-shaped boxes. The third one in line was for the poor. There were others for various sacrifices. If you came to the temple to offer a sacrifice and the sacrifice was of money, you put it in a certain one of these trumpet-shaped things. Each one was marked. And Edersheim says that nine were for the receipt of what was legally due by worshipers, the other four strictly for voluntary gifts. One of those was for the poor. And he mentions Matthew chapter 6, and he talks about the fact that there was this trumpet-shaped box for charitable giving to the poor in the temple. And then in his book on the temple, he says, it is probably in ironical allusion to the form and name of these treasure chests that the Lord, making use of the word trumpet, describes the conduct of those who, in their almsgiving, sought glory from men as sounding a trumpet before them. That is, carrying before them, as it were, in full display, one of these trumpet-shaped alms boxes, which is literally called in the Talmud a trumpet, and therefore sounding it. So it could be that. So what he could be referring to is the literal blowing of a trumpet, or this ostentatious display of giving, or, as Edersheim says, purposely showing which of these alms boxes you're putting your money into. Now, the point of any of those, whichever one it really is, the point of any of those is to show for the glory of men what you're doing, and that's all the reward you're ever going to get. So whether you walk along and announce what you're going to do, whether somebody announces it for you, or whether with a great flourish you put this check in the collection plate as it goes by, that's all the reward you get. That's all the reward you get. So that's how not to give. How are you to give? You're to give self-effacingly. Verse 3, but when you give, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Now, normally, your hands work together, right? I mean, your hands work together when you lift something, when you hold something, when you catch something, when you play the piano, unless you're me, and then they don't work together at all. But normally, they work together, right? So this command, this funny command, this great illustration that Jesus gives is, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. But what's he mean by that? What he means by that is simply this. Not only are you to keep your voluntary contributions secret from others, you're to keep them secret from yourself, in the sense that you're not patting yourself on the back and going around saying, what a good person I am. Look how I give to the poor. And Jesus says this about the righteous on the day of judgment in Matthew chapter 25. When they all are invited to stand before the king on judgment day, and it says, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? Of course, his answer is, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it unto me. But the point is, and this is the point to remember, those who are righteous, who are following the will of God, are not doing it to earn brownie points with God. They're not doing it in order to receive acclaim and praise from men. And they do it in such a way that it has become so natural to them that they're not even keeping score in their own minds. And so when God says, you did this, they're saying, when did I do that? And God has to remind them on the day of judgment, you did it at this time and you did it at that time. Oh yeah, now I remember. But they're not coming before God and saying, on September so-and-so, 1978, I did this. God, wasn't that great? Look at that. Wasn't that wonderful? They don't even remember. And what happens is there's great reward. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. God keeps account, which is both an incredibly scary thing and a wonderful thing at absolutely the same time. Nothing escapes God. Nothing. Nothing can be hid from God. No creature is hidden from His sight, it says in Hebrews 4, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. In other words, you cannot hide anything from God. You can't hide your thoughts. You can't hide your words. You can't hide your deeds. All must give an account. And God will openly reward and judge people on that day. I read the answer. Here's what God says to the righteous before that, Matthew 25. The king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared before you, prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." God gives recompense. He's called, notice here, he's called the one who sees in secret. He sees everything we do and think and say. And he's going to make that known publicly on the day of judgment. In Ecclesiastes it says, "For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." Matthew 10 says, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be shown. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops." Luke 8 says, "For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light." Paul says in Romans chapter 2, "On that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men in Christ Jesus." And 1 Corinthians, "Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test of what sort of work each one has done." And then finally, the last book of the Bible, Revelation in chapter 20. "I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done." So a day is coming in which judgment will be held, and the righteous will be revealed as righteous in Christ, and the wicked will be revealed as those who have done wickedness all of their lives and rebellion against God. And Jesus is teaching, God sees your secret deeds done in secret. You don't have to announce that you are doing a good deed. You're giving to the poor. God knows that you're giving to the poor. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You don't have to announce it. You don't have to keep score. God knows what's going on. And therefore, all these secret deeds that are done by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the glory of God will be openly and publicly revealed on the day of judgment and rewarded by God on that day. And of course, there's an implication in the passages we looked at here that the evil deeds will be openly revealed also and punished on that day. So the question of this passage is simply this. It's a simple question. How do you do your good deeds? Do you do what you do merely to be seen by men? Or do you do them simply for the glory of God, even if men never know about them until the last day? There will be folks who stand before the Lord on the last day, and God reveals what they have done, and others will say, I lived right next door to him, and I didn't know that he was doing this all along, that he was bringing glory to God in this particular way. How do you do your good deeds? Let's pray. Father, we are a sinful and a wicked people, and we rebel against you, and we often want to pat ourselves on the back and think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, and want others to do the same. We want that reward of men. But Father, Jesus reminds us that we should instead seek to glorify you, whether men ever know. And Lord, we know that that's the important thing, that all of our righteous deeds, all of our charitable giving, all of the things that truly count are done for your glory alone. And Father, whether anyone finds out before judgment day shouldn't matter. In fact, even on Judgment Day, we might be surprised that we had forgotten that we have done some things if we've done them the right way. Thank you, Father, for reminding us of this. May we not be like the hypocrites. May we not sound the trumpet when we do good deeds. But, Father, may we not let our left hand know what our right hand is doing, and so bring honor and glory to Christ our Savior. We ask this in His precious name. Amen.